TV. Got a little delivery from Fanatics.
Yeah, what is it? Jersey? What is this? Look, I love Orchard Park. I had some of my best games there, but this is ridiculous. No, that's actually kind of intimidating. I don't think Bills fans love me very much, but I will say this is a top-tier jersey.
Wait, Tom Brady likes the jersey?
He does.
It's just a white jersey. It's not the rivalry jersey he's signing, right? Somebody just gave him a white Allen jersey. You can't just have the rivalry jersey. It's not available until September 10th, did I see?
September 10th,
Real quick. How's it not available for sale right now?
I don't know.
I signed up to be notified when you could buy the stuff.
Right. Who at Fanatics decided it was a good idea? Hey, how can we sell jerseys? How can we get Bills fans on board with this new jersey? Let's put it in front of Tom Brady and have him sign it. 33-3 versus Bills! ! And put that in front of everybody's face. That's a great marketing move there. What was the goal? So, what a stupid video.
Not a fan?
Of him?
Yeah.
No. I will say he's leaning into being the villain by signing it 33-3 versus Bills. But why are we even... New England had one of these. Put a Patriots jersey in front of him to help sell it.
Was it even really the jersey? I don't think it was the jersey. I think it was just a white, like...
No, it was a white Josh Allen jersey.
Intimidating is the shoulder patch. Like, the Bills...
The patch is on there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, this is a real Josh Allen jersey. It's a real Josh Allen jersey. That now exists, by the way. There is a Josh Allen out there jersey in existence. How's everyone feel about that? That is signed Tom Brady on the 1, and then on the 7, it says 33-3 versus Bills.
Yeah, who would do that?
This was an idea of a skit, I guess, to be funny.
How much do you think it was funny? This is Brady?
Maybe. It could, like, it was his idea?
Yes, 100%.
You think it was Brady's idea?
Yeah.
And not somebody else? Like, he just wanted to troll Bills fans?
One thing you can see in the video, which this might be different by the time we can see them on. By the way, good morning, 803-0550. Give us a ring if you want. On the Micah Parsons trade and on the new jersey if you want that as well. The shoulder pads being a little darker because it's supposed to look like snow has fallen on them.
Or ice, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's actually snow. It's supposed to be snow falling on bison's fur.
Okay.
I believe I have that correct. I saw Pete.
I thought it was like frozen lake is what it looked like.
No. The actual graphic, okay. Pete Gwelly tweeted out a graphic, Sabres and Bills COO, about the uniform. That. Yes.
Yeah.
And on the shoulder it says, a cracked ice texture with speckled white resembling fresh snowfall on a bison's fur. That's what that is. So, yes, cracked ice and fresh snowfall.
So it's both kind of.
I guess so, yes.
Okay.
Inside the collar it says Bills Mafia.
I do like that texture on the top and the little bit of a dark. I like it.
Without saying it's the best jersey I've ever seen, I will say it's exactly what I hoped they would do. When the teaser picture came out yesterday and we're left to look at 8, and I don't know if they're all that good. It's exactly what I wanted them to do. Some of the elements that these teams used. So the Bills got fresh snow falling on a bison's fur, like a little subtle detail you might not pick up unless you're looking really close.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's. The numbers, do you see the numbers?
Mm-hmm.
They have 12s inside of them as a tribute to the 12th man. The Patriots, the numbers on the jerseys are a tribute to the font of naval vessels, ships, and they have fish nets, not like whatever, netting on the shoulder pads on some level. Not exactly fish nets, but you know what I'm trying to say. Fish netting. I feel like I have to say it that way. Anyway, I think these jerseys, they go hard. They're great. I like them, most of them. Even the Jets, although they chose manhole cover as their identity, okay.
Yeah.
He's been in the sewer for a while, so I guess that works. I'm happy. I'm mainly happy that the Bills are in it. It would feel like missing out if somebody... Imagine if instead of the Bills getting this snow treatment, if somebody like... Where else does it snow? I mean, we're the ones that are going to be known for
Minnesota.
It, even though they have a dome, though.
Right? Chicago.
Sure, if the...
The Packers.
Somebody. Packers,
Green Bay.
Yes.
Green Bay.
If the Packers had done something like this, I'm like, I'd be really jealous. So anyway, 803-0550. I can't believe you can't buy it right away.
The Seahawks jerseys were also supposed to radiate the sound from the stadium. Like, I didn't know. Did I get fooled by that, by the internet?
Yes.
The design was supposed to help reverberate the sound, like in
I think the sound
the uniforms.
The design
is supposed to represent that.
Yes. Supposed to represent. I don't think it's actually supposed to reverberate.
I thought
sound.
I read it was actually going to reverberate it, but how would they do that?
803-0550. Micah Parsons traded. Biggest move of the offseason happens a week before the season begins.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nuts. And now, this Parsons trade, listen, any team or player next year that asks for a trade, threatens a trade, we have to treat more seriously now. Myles Garrett, this offseason, put a full-page goodbye in the newspaper.
Yeah, he did.
Trey Hendrickson had a dramatic drive to Florida, chronicled by Adam Schefter, because he was leaving the Bengals.
Right.
We had all these theatrics with Holdens and Parsons getting traded means that next year, when it's insert player name here, we have to entertain the idea that that player could get traded. Because as soon as you say, he's not getting traded, I'll say Parsons got traded. It's not quite Gretzky got traded, but it is. It will disarm any conversation you say, like, that guy's not getting traded. Like, Micah Parsons got traded.
But couldn't I say back to that, well, that's because Jerry Jones. Do we have to my question would just be, I hope you're right. Do we have to treat Jerry Jones differently than the rest of the league?
Yes. Because the same way we kind of have to treat the Bengals differently than the rest of the league.
Yeah, because I might say, okay, oh, there's a star player holding in. Does he play for the Cowboys? Yeah. No? Then I might be more scared. Maybe you just go owner by owner. Like, that was part of why I thought that Hendrickson could get traded, is that organization strikes me as one that would do that. They would move on from the highly paid player and not pay him. They did kind of pay him, not on a long-term deal, but they paused that for a year. But like, if a star player in Minnesota is holding out in a year, should I believe that the Vikings owner and the GM is going to do that because Dallas did? I'm not trying to fight against it. Yeah. I want to believe that these can actually happen. And it is some evidence that, yes, you just might need a crazy guy running the team. And there are crazy guys running teams around the league. There's Gettlemans out there still.
Doesn't it feel like every GM put a note in their phone, like a reminder, a week before the deadline, call Jerry Jones?
I would just want to talk to him every day.
Always be calling him and seeing what he'll trade.
Just every day have a conversation with him and just see what comes about. Every day. When we were talking about whether they should trade James Cook or not, I'm like, just call Dallas. If you want to do that, call Dallas. Maybe they'll give you a first-round pick. Who knows?
Yeah, right. Micah Parsons.
But how many teams can you do that with? I mean, like, I'm not doing that with Philadelphia, right? I'm not calling Howie Roseman and expecting to get their best player.
That's right. The Eagles, of course, knocked the snot out of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Here's the Packers getting Micah Parsons. Here's a fun one for you. Maybe it's too presumptuous to go this far, but should Bills fans monitor the NFC? Should we be thinking about that?
I don't think so.
No,
I mean,
because it's only one game against that team, and if you get there, it's mission accomplished.
I think that's part of the reason.
Because we're obsessed with the Chiefs, and there's fear bunkers on the Bengals to a degree, and the Ravens are right there. We've got 3-4 AFC teams we are constantly talking about. And here, the NFC, the Eagles did win it. They've won it twice in the last couple of years. They are talked about as a top-tier franchise. They have all these great players. Here's Green Bay adding another one. Here's Detroit, who's kind of had a similar fate to the Bills last couple seasons. Not as many appearances, but an NFC championship game, heartbreak, a loss in the divisional round. You don't think about the NFC?
If they had already been to the Super Bowl,
you would then do it?
And lost. And I'd have physical evidence that they can get through the AFC, through Kansas City, through Cincinnati, if it came to it, but more so the Chiefs, then yes, I think this would be more of a thing for me. Like, okay, I might see that team. I might see this player. I think, right, part of it is you asked about, like, would fans take that, a loss to Green Bay in the Super Bowl? The fact that I might take that is why I'm not monitoring the NFC, is the thing I would have to be worried about down the road. I'm not even sure I'll be that upset. Well, that upset about it, that I should be worried about it. Of course, he'd be upset about it, right? Like, the experience of actually losing in a Super Bowl and being that close, I'm sure, is way, way larger than I'm making it sound. But, like, that would be a win, I think. Making it to the Super Bowl in general would feel like another step forward, because it would feel like you beat the boogeyman. You at least did that. And that's going to have everybody believing that you can now actually do it. And there are still some that I'm sure believe they'll never do it because they can't get past this team in this conference. And if they've done that, then I could start turning my attention, I think, to Green Bay and to Philadelphia and to Detroit and San Francisco maybe. But not until they make it. I think they've got to make it. Because it'd be different. Maybe Philly could be different for this. It'd be different if there was a super team over there. And there was.
Let me give you your comparison.
There's a team that I think is definitely better than everything that I'm going to face over here.
Is your comparison here, you're looking for the Niners and how they think about the Chiefs?
Yes.
They've lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl twice.
Yeah. That would be it. Or I'm thinking back to even when the Sabres were great in 2007, in that whole season and through the playoffs. What's the team I'm thinking about? Anaheim. Why? Because they were better than anything I was going to face in the East playoffs. There was a team over there that I know that's the best thing I'm going to face if I get there. And right now, the way the NFL is set up, I'm not sure that that's true. That you could look over at the NFC and say, the best thing I'm going to face is over there. Maybe you could do that with the Eagles. I'm not doing it with the Packers, though. I like the Packers a lot this year, but if the Bills make it to the Super Bowl, I'd bet they beat a better team than Green Bay on the way. I think Baltimore's a better team going in. Maybe that's it.
And Packers,
I'd list at least one.
We'll see. The Packers are...
They're good. They're the second leading favorite to win the NFC right now.
How much are their odds...
How about that?
How much are their odds move?
They moved a lot.
Okay.
Which usually doesn't happen... Well, usually doesn't happen in an individual game for a non-quarterback, but they were... Oh, what were they yesterday? Well, they certainly weren't favored. And today, they are now favored to win the division. So the Parsons trade has vaulted them above Detroit in the odds to win the NFC North. So they did move. I mean, as much as you'll ever see them move for a non-quarterback move for the season. Also, the Cowboys line, I guess, moved for next week against the Eagles. So there was definitely some movement. I think they're great. I mean, they were kind of like the Bills to me in that they have a bunch of pretty good players. I think the Bills' pretty good players may be a little bit better than Green Bay's, but and the Bills' quarterback is obviously better than Green Bay's. But they were a kind of a, you know, all-around good team that is lacking the superstar. And now they've got the superstar. So it's hard to not like them. I don't even know where I would start. Like, I just think they've got a good, complete team. I like the coach a lot. They've got an elite pass rusher. I like the quarterback. So maybe that's a difference between some. I like Jordan Love a lot. I mean, I could see betting them to win it. It's such a tough division, though. Like, the odds of them going on the road are just... They're strong just because you have three other good teams in your own division. You could be great all you want, and a bounce goes against you, and you're opening the playoffs on the road now just because you play in the NFC North.
Josh, you get Bill Simmons. I sent you Bill Simmons. Sorry to do this right now. You talk about the one seed, get it, you know, here we're at the Super Bowl. You hear Bill Simmons said about the Bills?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't think so, though.
We'll play this at some point. We'll get it later. It's a funny comment. It's about the one seed. He basically, in so many words, said, we'll play his comment because we'll make fun of the way that he said it, which is, I can't believe you might believe it, but that things have fallen for the Bills this year on the schedule. They don't play a road team over 500, probably. There might not be a single team on the road that's over 500 that they play. Atlanta might have the best chance at that. Is that right?
Houston.
New England, Houston, Atlanta. Those are the three teams that have a good look at being over 500 on the
road. And maybe Pittsburgh.
Okay.
But none of those teams have to go over 500.
No, that's right. Those are your four toughest road games.
Yeah, if you ranked their opponents by strength, are the top five at home?
Yeah, which road game are they most likely to lose? You see in a crystal ball and you find out the Bills go 7-1 on the road this year. Where do they lose? Who is it?
It's a good question.
It's a division game. Houston, Pittsburgh. Cleveland.
Yeah, that's not happening. Miami.
Carolina.
Atlanta.
Pick a road game for them to lose. Find it. It's tough.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer. Like, it would be... Yeah, I guess I would say New England in week 15 because just the odds that they could take a huge step forward. Because I don't see Houston being much different than they were last year. And the Bills... Houston, last year, they beat the Bills at home. So, you know, we've seen that. But what did it look like? The Bills had Josh Allen 9 of 31, whatever the numbers was. The least efficient day by completion percentage that a quarterback has had with that many passes in like 30 years. Totally incompetent on offense, throwing the ball. And it took a 60-yard field goal to beat them at the end. Like, they still almost won the game, playing as bad as they could on offense. So, I'm not going to Houston. I'll never pick Miami. I mean, Pittsburgh, just because it could be dumb, right? Pittsburgh winning a dumb, low-scoring game, and it's the way that Pittsburgh usually wins. They block a kick, they get a fumble that goes their way, and they win 16-14. Or against the Bills, maybe more like 21-20. I'll say Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's wow. Their most likely loss. Because they're dumb. It's a dumb team. They win in dumb ways.
We talked to Christopher Carter yesterday in Pittsburgh. What's the successful season for the Steelers? He said 11 wins, wild card, and getting an easier matchup in the first round. Like, that's a good... Maybe win a game. And that would be seen as a good year for them.
Yeah, because they're approaching on a decade now without winning a playoff game.
Yeah, so like, they're getting and you're everybody's got a drought, right? Everybody's got their own battle. Everybody's got a drought.
Everybody's got a drought?
Everybody's got some drought.
What's Kansas City's drought?
1 year without the Super Bowl. It's not really a terrible drought, but Everybody's got a drought. I guess the Bengals have a 2-year playoff drought.
The Bills' drought is just not going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it is now, right? It's been 32 years?
Yeah. 32 years.
A long time.
I mean, it's longer than I've been around. So, yeah. What is what's Baltimore's drought?
Baltimore's
same
drought.
Thing?
Sure.
Who's got the worst one?
The Jets. Or the Dolphins.
I think Pittsburgh's drought might be worse than the Jets' drought.
It's not. The Jets have the longest playoff drought in North American sports. It's worse than the Sabres.
But just knowing that I'm going to go to a playoff game and just get my butt kicked every single year and cause that, like, just know that that's going to cause things to be the same. I it probably isn't better, but at least you feel like you could live a little when you, like, I could fire a coach or I could get a new quarterback and I could do this and I can get a new GM. And in Pittsburgh, it's just like, no, we're just going to do the same thing again. And then we'll do the same thing next year and we'll do the same thing the year after that and the same thing the year after that.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins and the Jets both have worse droughts. The Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since.
That might be the worst one. They haven't won a playoff game since 1999, I believe.
Yeah, the 2000. It was in the calendar year 2000, but the 99 season.
Marino. Right? Is that still Marino?
The 2000 AFC wildcard game? I don't think so.
Okay. They beat, let's see. They won over, wait a minute. Is this correct?
They beat the Colts in 2000.
Okay.
Lamar,
it was 1 year off.
Lamar Smith had a big day on the ground, if I remember correctly.
No, the wild card game in 2000 for them, it was... It was
Jay Fiedler. That's their last playoff win.
Okay. Fiedler. I'm 1 year off. So that's 2001.
They beat Peyton Manning. Lamar Smith had 209 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns.
They also beat Seattle in a playoff game in 2000. And that would have been hilarious if their last playoff win was over the Seahawks.
That's right.
Who, like, how many people listening even know they were in the AFC at one point in time? But yeah, there's one more year in there.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Are you jealous of Green Bay in any way? I mean, the Packers' resume, here's a potential comparison. Is this their Diggs move, Green Bay? It's their... Hey, we're good. It's time to go in big for a 4-year window, 4 or 5-year window. This is our, not that it's the perfect comparison because they trade 2 firsts and a player, but.
But it's their first big all-in move.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. We are already good and we have an opportunity to say, let's win a Super Bowl. That's what this trade is about.
I think that is, because that's what the Diggs move was a sign
I thought of, all right, let's go.
We're ready.
It's go time. Yeah. We're gonna win for real now. Like, we've made the playoffs, but now we gotta win big. They trade for Diggs. That, I mean, Green Bay won a playoff game, right? Did they win one last year? They won one 2 years ago.
They lost to the Eagles last year.
Did they?
Oh, I don't remember that. They lost to the Rams. I don't know.
But either way, they smoked the Cowboys years ago. I remember that. Yeah, they lost to the Eagles in the wild card round last year. So they're basically in the same. They're basically in the same, very similar spot to where the Bills were at that time. So, yeah, it's more their Diggs move than their Vaughn move, right?
Yeah, I mean,
the Vaughn move is I just need one last thing, finishing touch. They probably need another one of those at some point. But this is the, all right, now we're going to be like a legit Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I mean, as long as
these two guys are going.
That's right. It's way bigger than the Vaughn move. The Vaughn move is a 6-year contract that you're hoping something goes well in the first 2 years of it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of didn't because of the injury. Whereas
this guy you're hoping plays for 10 years for you and makes the Hall of Fame and is an all-time great.
100%. Like, this is.
You're hoping he's Reggie White.
This is, if it doesn't work out this year, that's fine. Now you have a player to build around, right? Franchise, cornerstone kind of guy. Defensively.
How about a star player choosing to go to Green Bay, by the way?
Why wouldn't you?
You guys just don't do it very often, do they? Going to Green Bay?
Reggie White did.
That was a long time ago. I saw yesterday morning there was an article by, I'll have to get it, but it was like this conspiracy theory that, you know, they had heard that there's a super tight relationship, I guess, between Parsons' agent and the Green Bay GM, and that, like, watch out for these two because they talk all the time and they're like are super friendly with each other. And then sure enough, later in the day after that piece was dropped, Justin Moschetta, who covers the Packers, wrote an article about Micah Parsons and NFL Siberia and why there's talk of the two. That was at 6:03 yesterday morning. And then he got traded to Green Bay later that day. So there might have been some smoke on that already, but it doesn't happen often that star players go there. They never sign top free agents. So good for them.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Happy Friday. I'm ready for one of those Bills I almost called them throwbacks. One of those Bills rivalry uniforms. I think they look great. I think New England's look pretty good.
We have 5 jersey combinations this year for the Bills.
Well, if you go combinations.
Not combinations, yeah, like jerseys.
Blue, white, red, throwback, and rivalry. If they wear red, there's 5. Is there a throwback one or not? A throwback one this year.
They're wearing standing buffalo.
Oh, there's red helmet. Yeah, okay, they're wearing standing buffalo helmet.
Yeah. Well, and the
red helmet.
Yeah.
And the regular. They're wearing 4 helmets this year.
4 helmets, 3 uniforms.
Yeah. Because there's no throwback.
No, there is. Yeah, the 60s uniform looks a little different. So that should be a different uniform. Yeah.
Well, they're going to wear the throwback uniforms in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's blue, so white, throwback. No red this year? Rivalries instead.
I've seen nothing about them wearing red this year. I feel like I would guess they're not going to wear red, but
we're going to have Pete Guelli on the show next week. We'll ask him full rundown.
Yeah.
803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Happy Friday. When we come back on Tuesday, it's fall. Get ready. Get hyped.
Because you do that on September 1st.
Yeah, just meteorological fall.
The sun says that September 22nd, though, is when that's.
That is not correct. That's what that's what the stars and the equinoxes said, but that's not what weather, an actual existing on planet Earth, says. Meteorological fall. What do you live by, the stars or the weather? Make your call. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.